The views and opinions expressed on my story, Living with Lupus Podcast, represents each person's individual experience. By listening to this podcast or reading our blog, you agree not to use this podcast or blog as medical advice to treat any medical condition in either yourself or others. As always, consult your own physician for any medical issues that you may be having. My Story Living with Lupus Podcast is officially trademarked, all rights reserved. Thank you for joining me for another episode of My Story, Living with Lupus Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Hendricks, and I'm so glad that you could join me on this Sunday. That's right, Sunday, February the 20th, 2022. Today's episode is all about, yes, of course, it's lupus, but it's more in detail about what procedure I'm getting ready to have done on February the 28th. We'll be talking about that. You'll find out what a CT scan biopsy is and how it is performed. So, I also would like to welcome, as new listeners, Reasons Podcast. That's right. You can now hear My Story Living with Lupus Podcast on Reason. So, all the way from the United States to Central Macedonia, Greece, get ready to grab your cup of coffee, your cup of tea, and to my listeners late at night, you know that I appreciate you. So go and grab your favorite glass of wine and join the conversation right here on My Story, Living with Lupus Podcast. Before we get into what is happening with me and my upcoming procedure, I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that PTSD may play a role in the development of lupus? Let's see what research states about this. Individuals with a history of post-traumatic stress disorder, better known as PTSD, had twice the risk of subsequently developing lupus. An analysis of a large, diverse group of Medicaid enrollees found the prevalence of PTSD was 10.74, well, you can say 95%, per 1,000 among patients who were later diagnosed with systemic lupus erythematosus, also known as SLE, compared with 7.83 per 1,000 among controls, according to Case MD of Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston and colleagues. After an adjustment for multiple factors, including age, sex and race, income, region of residence, obesity, smoking, and use of oral contraceptives. The odds ratio for SLE among patients with PTSD was 2.0. The researchers reported online in Arthritis Care and Research. Exposure to trauma has been linked with multiple hormonal and metabolic changes. These alterations can, in turn, affect the immune system and inflammatory response through many potential pathways, such as cytokine production, immune cell signaling, and endocannabinoids modification. PTSD is more common among women and African Americans, which is also the case for SLE. Now, a previous report from the Nurses Health Study 2 found that symptomatic PTSD was associated with an almost threefold increased risk of SLE. But that study was limited by its homogeneous population, who were largely women and white. To assess the risk in a more diverse group of individuals, Case and colleagues analyzed data for Medicaid enrollees residing in the 29 most populous states during the years 2007 to 2010. Now, they identified 10,942 incident cases of SLE who were matched according to age, sex, and race ethnicity with 109,420 controls. Participants' mean age was 41, and more than 90% were women. 40% were Black, 38% were white, 17% were Hispanic, and small numbers were Native American or other. Rates of smoking and obesity were low and similar among cases and controls. The median time between the first diagnostic code for PTSD and first code for SLE was 432 days, with a range of 1 to 1,356 days. In a matched but unadjusted logistic regression analysis, the odds ratios for SLE among those with PTSD was 1.96, rising to 2.0 after multiple adjustments for potentially influential covarieties. A sensitivity analysis that included only patients who had been enrolled in Medicaid for at least 2 years before having a diagnostic code for SLE, and
in parentheses, to increase the likelihood of incident, SLE, was also conducted. In this analysis, which included 4,504 cases of SLE and 45,004 matched controls, the prevalence of PTSD was 15.74 per 1,000 for patients with SLE compared with 9.97 per 1,000 for controls. When we return, we'll finish up. And plus, I have something to inform you about that the foundation that I formed is partnering with a group that's really special. So stay right with me. Thank you for joining me back again. Let's complete the research on PTSD may play a role in the development of SLE. In conclusion to this research, the incidence of PTSD among SLE cases was 7.95 per 1,000 and 6.51 per 1,000 among controls. The odds ratio on conditional logistic regression analysis for SLE was 2.64, increasing to 3.62 on multivariate analysis. The results of this study differ very much from a previous study of U.S. military members, which found increased levels of autoimmune diseases in general among those with PTSD, though not SLE specifically. However, that study population was predominantly male and included few cases of SLE. Biologic changes associated with trauma exposure can help explain the relationship with autoimmunity. Widespread DNA, epigenetic changes, and shorter telomere length have both been identified in patients with PTSD. Inflammatory markers such as C-reactive protein are also increased in population of patients with PTSD compared to those without, which could lead to a downstream effect in inflammation and immune cell function. This is what researchers observed. Now, further investigation, like always, will be needed. However, to determine the specific mechanisms and pathways involved in loss of self-tolerance, development of autoantibodies, and immune dysfunction, and also to identify potential interventions that could modify the risk of SLE and other autoimmune diseases among individuals already diagnosed with PTSD. limitations to the study included its case controls design and relatively short follow-up. This research was found on MedPage today. Now I want to enlighten you. Most of you know that I formed a foundation, the Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendricks Foundation for Chronic Illness. And I had been working on several things to bring awareness about women's health to the community of Highland Park, Michigan, and also share the information with you. Well, on January 31st, 2001, the Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendricks Foundation has joined partnership with the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Office on Women's Health. This program is the OWH Self-Measured Blood Pressure Program in which we are partners. So, I will be bringing to women, especially women of color, and especially in underserved communities such as Highland Park, Michigan. I will be seeking to increase knowledge and access to SMBP information and resources, also as well as encourage others to address heart health disparities, to prevent hypertension, to promote self-measure blood pressure, and most importantly, to improve health equity on a community level. So, this information that I will be bringing to my listening audience, I hope that you will share it with your family, with the women in your family, and also within the communities in which you reside. You will, if you would like to receive periodic updates, you can either go and sign up on the Charlie E. and Minnie P. Hendricks Foundation website at https://cemphfoundation.com. We are in the process of devising programs and information that will be placed on the website. Also, the information will be placed on my story, Living with Lupus website. And you can go to www.mystorylivingwithlupus.com. So that is the news that I wanted to share, because as some of you realize that individuals with lupus have issues either from the medication or for other health reasons with high blood pressure. And the information will be beneficial to everyone, and especially women. It's about educating and empowering those regarding your health. Who is the best health advocate for you? It's you. So the more you know, the more you can be empowered. Now, let's get to my situation that is coming up on February the 28th. I will be at the hospital having a CT scan biopsy of my liver. As you know, if you've been listening to the podcast, I have been experiencing some very concerning health issues. I won't say a crisis because it is not a crisis. And I'm just having health issues. We know that I'm dealing with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And after that, I was recently diagnosed with autoimmune liver disease. Now, if you don't realize what autoimmune liver disease is, it is where lupus has attacked my liver. And my liver at this point in time resembles the liver of an alcoholic. Now, I don't drink. I never have tasted wine or had any form of alcohol in all of my years living. I know you may not believe it, but hey, it's the truth. I don't need alcohol to feel good. I feel good off of life. So I had started to notice that the fatigue was hitting me 10 times harder. I noticed that my urine had become the color of a penny. I noticed that I was having a temperature every morning when I wake up. And I'm talking not a slight temperature that those with us with lupus may have or may not have, but with me, you know, I usually carry a low-grade fever, but this was different. You know, an individual could walk around with autoimmune liver disease and you may not know it. Excuse me, but I started noticing these symptoms occurring, and when it was time for me to go to my 3-month rheumatology visit, they were concerned and said my blood work was off the charts and that I had autoimmune liver disease, and I tested positive on top of that for celiac disease. So now I'm dealing with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. I've been dealing with gastrointestinal issues where lupus was attacking my gastrointestinal system. Now I'm dealing with autoimmune liver disease and possible autoimmune hepatitis and a positive result for celiac disease. So I went to my gastroenterologist last week and I informed her that the rheumatologist and told me to inform her of all of the latest diagnosis that I have. And she went through her records and she said, Susan, your liver enzyme the last time we checked was fine. And you checked negative for the celiac disease. And she said, tell me your symptoms again. So we went all through it again. She said, okay, I'm going to get the blood work from your rheumatologist, but I'm going to need lab work of my own. And plus, with everything that has been going on with you, we're scheduling a liver biopsy. Okay, so the liver biopsy, as I stated previous, is scheduled for February the 28th at 7:30 in the morning. And it is a CT scan biopsy. And when I mentioned CT scan biopsy, it's basically taking a scan of my liver, of my organs, and getting a precise view of what it looks like. Then the physician will insert a needle into my abdomen area of where my liver is, and they will take a piece, a snippet, I call it, of my liver out to be examined and to come up with a definitive diagnosis. Okay, I have no gallbladder. That had to go. So now we're working on my liver and everything else that is going on with me. Now, with a CT scan biopsy, I don't know if I will be admitted into the hospital for overnight observation due to I have a little issue with my blood. I have antiphospholipid syndrome, and that means my clotting factor, and they have to be really careful. So I don't know if I will be spending overnight, or will it be on a outpatient basis. My family does not want me in the hospital at this time, overnight due to COVID. That's right. But as usual, whenever I am admitted into the hospital with everything that has happened and that has been going on with me, I am segregated from the rest of the patients in the hospital. I'm placed in a private room, and yes, I still have to wear a mask. So that's that. So we'll see. But yes, they're trying to get a definitive diagnosis, and I'll basically also to see if there is any cancer in the liver, besides the autoimmune liver disease. And just to let you know that there is no cure for autoimmune liver disease. I will be placed on a donor's list for a liver transplant. So we have to deal with that. And plus, the gastroenterologist informed me that she could not give me any medication at this time. She couldn't do anything for me until they get the results from the liver biopsy. Am I feeling my best? No. Do I still have a temperature? Yes. My temperature this morning, this Sunday morning, was 100.7. And also now I am experiencing pain in the area of my kidneys. So I don't know now if I have kidney involvement, but I have pain in the lower right quadrant, in the back of my kidneys, where my kidneys are located. So I'm dealing with that. I plan on filming what I can and placing it on the My Story Living with Lupus YouTube page. But due to regulations in the hospitals, I can only do so much. But I will try to record what I can of my journey on the liver biopsy on the 28th. So that is what's going on with me. And I also just want to make clear that each individual who has lupus will not experience the same symptoms at the same time. Lupus, and I've been saying this for the last 3 years that I have been doing this podcast, is not a one-size-fits-all illness. I don't say disease. I say illness. And the type of lupus I have is SLE, and it is attacking my internal organs. Now, some people may say, well, she doesn't sound like she's sick. She doesn't act like she's sick. She doesn't look like she's sick. And the reason why I'm saying this portion right here is because we had a review on Apple. And the individual stated that they could not stand the sound of my voice. And the way that the individual wrote this review, I said, it's a woman. And, you know, I usually don't respond to negativity or how people perceive that I may be or how I may sound. If there is an issue with my dialect, I suggest you blame it on God because He was the one who gave it to me. I am not here to sound like you want me to sound. I am here to sound like Susan Hendrix, and this is the way I sound. So I'm sorry that you could not listen to the podcast and gain insight on individuals who are dying with this illness. So sorry for that. But I am pleased that you tuned in to listen, not to the facts, but you listen to a person who has been conquering this illness since the age of 5. That's right, 5. So, sorry that you don't like the way I sound. That's why you have the opportunity to listen to who and whomever you like. That's what freedom is all about. So you guys, stay with me, and I'll return with some closing remarks. In honor of Black History Month, I would like to tell you a little bit about James Durham. James Durham never received a medical degree, but he is considered the first Black physician in the United States. Born in Philadelphia in 1762, Durham was taught to read and worked with doctors. By 1783, Durham was still enslaved, but he was working in New Orleans with Scottish physicians who allowed him to perform various medical procedures. Soon after, Durham purchased his freedom and established his medical office in New Orleans. Durham gained popularity after he successfully treated diphtheria patients and even published articles on the subject. He also worked to end the yellow fever epidemic, losing only 11 out of 64 of his patients. By 1801, Durham's medical practice was restricted from performing several procedures because he did not possess a medical degree. James Durham was recognized as one of the first Black physicians in the United States. And that is a moment in Black history. Leave you with something to think about. You know, words hold powerful vibrations. See, I'm all about positivity and keeping that negativity out. But sometimes you have to address the negativity and keep it out. Thoughts hold even more powerful vibration. This is why positivity can be extremely healing and beneficial. Now, you know, we all tend to go through rough patches in life. Life is not a piece of cake, like we were told in school. But regardless of what is going on in our physical environment, positivity can help us attune our internal environment to a higher more positive frequency. Now, even though whatever's going on in your life, you may not fully feel or believe your thoughts about being positive, I want you to do this. Today, and I want you to repeat it after me. Today, I let go of all that does not serve me and choose to heal my heart, mind, body, and soul with self-love, compassion, and kindness. Now, did you get that? Let's do it again. Today, and I'm going to add this in there, tomorrow, I let go of all that does not serve me and choose to heal my heart, mind, body, and soul with self-love, compassion, let it go and keep moving forward. Look, understanding is much deeper than knowledge. There are many people who know of you, but very few who understand you. I'm Susan Hendricks, your host for My Story, Living with Lupus Podcast. Have a peaceful, positive, and oh so blessed Sunday. And if it doesn't serve you, let it go. I will talk to you on, well, I'll put it this way. I'll talk to you next. Well, this week coming up on Friday, be safe and God.